There I was in Costco. I was just trying to get a couple things and get out of there, but the aisle where I was heading all of a sudden was clogged. There was a guy doing a demonstration. The demonstration had been over, and he was still talking to these people, and the people were still listening to him, waiting for him to give out the freebie that he had promised them. But he kept on going and going and going, holding them in suspense. And I thought to myself, just give them the freebie already. They're going to start walking away any moment. Here are these Jews. They're gathered around Jesus at this festival that we call Hanukkah today. And they say, how long are you going to hold us in suspense? Tell us plainly if you're the Christ, if you're the Messiah. And Jesus' response is, I already did. Look at all the miracles I've done in Jesus' name. There's no suspense. And if there was any doubt, later, now we have it, he's risen from the dead. He's the Christ. There's no suspense. And it would be nice if we could get rid of this sin in our lives and this sinful nature and live our lives without any suspense, without any anxiety. And really, Christ has given us that. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be anxious. And yet we're sinners. We still have fear. We still have anxiety. Excuse me. And so I want to talk to that. I want to specifically talk to you mothers, to you women, about some fears you might have. Some anxiety. Men, you can listen along. Really, this is for you too, but I'm going to gear it more specifically to women. There are some phases in life that you go through that can hold you in suspense. Maybe you remember middle school. Maybe you're in middle school. Remember high school, you remember college, and you remember dating life on into the future. What is that question that can hold you in suspense all those years and sometimes your entire life? Am I loved? If you ever talk to a woman who does not think they are loved, they might put on a good show, but they're not doing well. Well, what's the number one thing that women turn to in order to help themselves think that they are loved? It's their beauty. It's their beauty. So these are these two suspenseful questions that follow women for most of their life. Am I loved? Am I beautiful? What I want to hopefully get you to today is that the suspense is over. There's no suspense. There's a woman. She's a beautiful woman. From the time she was born, everyone could tell she was beautiful, and most women envied her. She didn't have to do anything for herself. Everything was given to her because everyone was drawn to her beauty. There she is one day in Applebee's. She's a waitress, and she's folding up napkins and silverware, waiting for things to get going. And there is my friend sitting next to her, folding napkins and silverware, and his hands are shaking. He's so nervous just to be next to her. They get talking, and maybe she confided in him because he was studying to be a pastor. I don't know. And you know what she said to him? I will never know if someone actually loves me. Do they just love how I look? Or do they love the real me? I'll never know. She went on to say, when I go into a store and the little girl says to her mom, or sometimes she says it right to me, and she says, when I grow up, I want to be like her. And the woman said, those words really cut me, because they don't know anything about me. They only know how I look. You see what I'm trying to get at, dear women? As long as you base your answer to the questions, am I loved, am I beautiful, on how you look physically, the suspense will never end. What does Jesus say to this woman? What would you say to the woman? In our text, Jesus says, I know you. I know my sheep. You see, Jesus, he didn't just know her face. He didn't know her at a skin-deep level. He knew everything about her. He knew the house she grew up in. She knew all her insecurities, all her faults. And yet, what does he say about her? I give you eternal life. Dear women, God doesn't just know your face. He knows everything about you. He knows all your insecurities. He knows all your blemishes, all the faults that you try and hide. He knows everything that you've been through. And what does he say to you? I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. There's that part of us that says that is really nice. That is really nice. But Pastor, you just don't get it. You don't get it. You don't understand what it's like to be a female and to have to get up the day after the party where they said that about you. To have to go back to high school after you got made fun of in front of everybody. Pastor, you don't struggle with what I struggle with. You don't know what it's like to step on the scale. I'll never understand. I'll never understand what it's like. Dear women, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, you don't like what you see, I want you to wash your face in your baptism and see who you really are. I want you to see who you really are. You've been connected to Christ, to his life, his death, his resurrection. Can anyone who's connected to Christ be called ugly? No. In fact, they have to be beautiful. You know what Christ says about you? He says, you are my bride. You're Christ's bride. Who cares what the world says about you, what they said about you, what the things that you say about yourself? You gotta listen to your good shepherd and what he says about you. You see, he keeps layering it on. He keeps layering it on. He says, they are in my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That's you. That's you. And you say, oh, great. I'm in the hands of someone who's got a literal hole in their hand so that I can fall out because I'm so... That's not what the holes are there for. The holes are there for every insecurity you have to fall out so that you're secure in His hand. Nothing will take you out of His hand. And then He doubles that up and He says, no one can take you out of My Father's hand. So no one will in the future. No one can right now. Dear women, that is how secure you are. That's how loved you are. He keeps going and He says, My Father, God, is greater than all. You've got God, and you've got this greater than sign, and then you've got anything else that could make you question that God loves you. God is greater than all. Some of you struggle with various addictions. Some of you struggle with body image. Some of you struggle with self-identity, like that woman that we talked about in the beginning. Some of you struggle with bitterness. I could go through this whole list of things, but you know what you struggle with. Was it the husband who always comes home and takes all the glory? The kids are waiting, Dad, Dad, and they go running after Dad, and he goes out and plays with him. And there you are, quietly working, and he doesn't come and show you that affection and love that you've been desperately longing for. And you can grow bitter and resentful. He must not love me. Maybe it's children. You look back at your parenting or your parenting that's going on right now and you say, I'm failing my children. I failed them. How could God love me? All these things in life. And what does He still say to you? I give them eternal life. You see our theology in there? That's just a big word for what we believe. Do you see what we believe in there? I give it to them. It's not based on how you feel sometimes about your spouse. It's not based on how good of a parent you were. It's not based on what you weigh yourself in the morning, what you think about yourself when you look in the mirror. He gives it to you. And then he finishes up and he says, I and the Father are one. If you're good before Jesus, you're good before the Father. Everything is right. Dear women, you're dearly loved. Now it's time for the men. You know what happens on Mother's Day is usually the mothers get praised and then the husbands, the men, get bonked. And we're going to do that today as well, but don't worry, Father's Day is coming. So I'm going to ask you, we had the women think about, what do they think about themselves? And we've encouraged the women. No, it's what God thinks about you. Listen to what the Good Shepherd says about you. That's where the suspense will be ended. But dear men, sometimes we add to that suspense, don't we? What do you think about women? Are women to be used or to be loved? What do you think about your mother? You love your mother. Imagine if you found out that your whole life, your dad never loved your mother, and all he had done was used her. Think of how mad that would make you. Now think about how God would feel if any one of us would use one of his daughters. How do you know if you're guilty of this? Do you have any picture, any image that has become a trophy, an object that makes you think of women as an object? Then you're guilty. So what's my charge for you men today? It would be to go home, and if you have anything that is a trophy that makes women into an object, that you would cleanse your house, that you would get rid of it. Everything. Now, men, this is a big point. You don't go home and do this in guilt and shame. You do it in grace. We cannot afford to have our daughters, God's daughters, have men of faith use women. Now, this call to action, is it going to solve the problem? It won't. It's only the beginning. If you're weak and you need help, call a brother up. Come to men's Bible study. Men's Bible study isn't for the guys who have it all together. Men's Bible study is for the men who are struggling. And that's all of us. Sometimes we're too ashamed to struggle against our sins. And what you find as a pastor is sometimes what people struggle with most, they all but give up on. Why? Because it's less painful not to struggle. Now, men, I need you to hear all this gospel, because that's the only way that you're going to move forward and carry this out, right? You have the same gospel that we gave to the women. The double-edged sword I'll start with first, and it's the phrase, I know my sheep. That's terrifying. Men, he knows everything we've done. Everything. You may have hidden it from everybody else, but to him it's plain as day. But that's also gospel. Could you believe that God would know all that about us, and yet he would still say, I give them eternal life. I hold them in my hand, and no one will snatch them out of it. God holds them in his hand, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand. My Father is greater than all. Men, he's greater than anything you struggle with. Don't sell him short. Don't think that he can't help you. Don't live your life thinking you'll never get over it. I don't want you to get to the end of your life with a 70-year addiction. No. Hear the love of God for you. How could you move forward? How could you move forward, whether you get past this a day, a week, or a month before you lapse back? You've got this fount of grace. How can you get up and keep standing when you fall for the same sin time and time again? He's given you this grace not to coexist with your sin, but to fight it, to struggle it. And this is what puts the fight in you. This God, who even after the 10th time, the 100th time, the 3,000th time says, I know my sheep, and I give them eternal life. Nothing will snatch them out of my hand. Amen.